You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King.
Carl. I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King. Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, and our website. This podcast is produced and distributed by When It Was Cool. .com. Hope you'll check that out. Got a lot of great stuff going on. I've recently renovated the website and put the focus on what our main thing is, which is our podcasting network. And we have lots of great audio. We have at least one show every day that comes out over there. So if you're looking for some new stuff to listen to, do check that out. In the past several days, May 19th rolled around, which if you remember back, was it been 15, 16 years ago now, I guess? Kane had the movie See No Evil that was marketed around May 19th. Well, I've got a review of that up on the website. You can check it out. Life and Times with Kid Zombie. He's going to be talking arcades and more. Plus, we have another wrestling history podcast, Wrestling with the Dog. Fireside Chat, Heel Mustache Podcast, plus lots of other retro pop culture stuff. Just yesterday, we did a show on the DC character Darkseid. You may have saw him from, the Justice League movie. And comic book fans certainly recognize him as one of the most well-known foes of Superman. Plus, we've got a lot more stuff coming up this week. Tons and tons of audio. Check us out over at whenitwascool.com and hope you'll hit that Patreon button. In our rotation of classic wrestling shows, to keep things mixed up and kind of fresh over here, I do different shows every week, and we're back around to the long form History of Wrestling podcast. This is the 77th show in that series, and again, you can get the entire series dating all the way back to the Pioneer era and even before that, really. If you've ever wondered who some of the pioneers of wrestling were, how did pro wrestling even get started? Anywhere in the world, much less here in the United States. Well, we talk about it in this series. So go to whenitwascool.com and click on the podcast page that is the long-form history of wrestling. Well, we're up to February of 1983 at this point. And again, this is really my sweet spot for being a fan. 1982, 1983, 84, we'll of course see the birth of the Hulk Hogan WWF era, Hulkamania era. Hulk Hogan's already currently, as we're speaking, a big star in Japan and the AWA. And so let's talk about it. So we're going to, our month starts off a little late this month. I don't know why my first note's not till February 5th, 1983, but that's where we'll begin. And I'm referring to the script of the show. Is it whenitwascool.com? It's the Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone. What you'll do is go to that, go to the year 1983, scroll down to February, and you can see all this. This is a culmination of not just my research, obviously not. There are hundreds of other pro wrestling researchers and historians whose work is being used in this chronicling of wrestling history. So let's start here, February the 5th, 1983, and among our criteria is shows of 5,000 people or more, historically significant, title changes, births, deaths, major life events, things of that nature. That's what lands us here. We're going to go to Boston, Massachusetts for the WWF on February 5th. The attendance is 14,810. We have Mr. Fuji defeating Pete Sanchez. Salvatore Bellomo defeated Charlie Fulton. And remember, Salvatore Bellomo, he's been getting a push right here. He'd later become a well-known enhancement wrestler in the 1980s. But when he was first there, he was getting pushed quite a bit. Have Johnny Ross defeated Baron Mikel Cicluna. Swede Hansen defeated Mac Rivera. I mean, these WWF shows, we've talked about this for months now. These undercards are unbearable. How WWF ever maintained the level of popularity it has over the years is beyond me, because these undercards, I mean, we've been talking about this since the 1970s, just how abysmal these undercards are, and not really improving that much here. They also put their world title matches usually in the middle of the show for some reason, and that's what happens here as well. WWF champion Bob Backlund fought WWF Intercontinental champion Don Morocco to a double DQ. The WWF Tag Team Champions, Chief Jay and Jewel Strongbow, defeated the Wild Samoans, Afa and Sika. Of course, these would be uncles to The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Big John Studd defeated Tony Garea. But, you know, Big John Studd kind of gets a bad rap. A lot of people talk about him in a negative light. I always liked Big John Studd. Always liked the big bruisers. I mean, yeah, he wasn't dynamic to watch. He was slow and plodding. But he was a big dude, big intimidating-looking guy. And by most accounts, a pretty nice fellow as well. I was always a fan of Big John Studd. Maybe I'm the only one, but I liked him. Jimmy Snuka defeated Ray Stevens. And boy, this is a year. This is quite the year for Jimmy Snuka. And I don't mean that in any sort of lighthearted way. I mean, there is Jimmy Superfly Snuka is going to. We've already talked about him getting arrested once. If not, we'll be coming up on it shortly. And, of course, there will ultimately be murder involved in this story, and just a crazy, a super popular. I mean, Jimmy Snuka was mega popular, but only back in the early 80s could this sort of stuff float under the radar. In this era of social media, Jimmy Superfly Snuka would have been canceled a long time ago, and rightfully so. So keep your eyes and ears on Jimmy Snuka and what happens as we move forward in 1983. Speaking of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, his father, Rocky Johnson, defeated superstar Billy Graham by DQ. The next day, February 6, 1983, so this will be a Monday night. We've got three shows for you. Monday night was a very popular night for wrestling back in the territorial era. In fact, we don't have Southeastern Wrestling mentioned here because it probably didn't draw over 5,000 people on this night, but they would have been active at Boutwell Auditorium in Birmingham. But we're going to go to Memphis, Atlanta, and Denver, Colorado for three shows. First off, in Memphis, Tennessee, they're not in the Mid-South Coliseum. They've had to change venues for at least this week. They're at the Cook Convention Center. Only 3,206 people are there, so this doesn't really make our criteria for a show we would cover in detail. But we did have a title change. And that is the Fabulous Ones. Steve Kern and Stan Lane defeated the Sheep Herders. In this instance, the Sheep Herders are Jonathan Boyd and Luke Williams to win the Southern Tag Team titles. All right, go down to Atlanta at the Omni. And I don't have an attendance for this, but it would have been probably around the 10,000 range. We have the Iron Sheik defeated Dick Murdoch in an Iranian Club Challenge. Always liked the Iron Sheik in Georgia wrestling. To me, he used to be so associated with the WWF and that Hulkamania era, as, you know, being the WWF champion that Hulk Hogan beat for the title and then teaming with Nikolai Volkoff. But, man, to see Iron Sheik in a different promotion, it's kind of fun. Like, to me, he never really fit that well into Mid-South, but something about in Georgia, he just kind of worked over there. Butch Reed battled Ivan Koloff to a draw. In a bunkhouse match, Stan Hansen defeated Ole Anderson. Dick Murdoch defeated the Super Destroyer, this being Scott Irwin. Paul Orndorff defeated the Iron Sheik in a singles match. Ray Candy defeated Bruiser Brody by DQ. I sort of perversely would like to see this match. I can't imagine it being much of nothing with Ray Candy in there, but I bet it would be something. I bet it would be a sight to behold. I'm sure it's probably online. Bob Roop defeated Brad Armstrong. Buzz Sawyer defeated Tommy Rich. And remember, this is the era where they're really feuding, and ultimately that's going to culminate in the last battle of Atlanta. So you got these big bloody matches between Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich. Tag team match, the Moondogs, Rex and Spot, defeated Tito Santana and Joe Lightfoot. And finally, Paul Ellering defeated Tom Pritchard. The AWA is in Denver, Colorado, and I don't have attendance here, but it also would have been in excess of 10,000 people, probably closer to 20,000 during this era. have Buck Zumhoff defeated Tom Lentz. Jerry Blackwell and Sheik Adnan LKC beat Baron Von Raschke and Mad Dog Vachon. Rene Goulet battled Steve O to a draw. Boy, that deserved a spot on that WWF undercard. Wahoo McDaniel beat Bobby Duncombe. And the AWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Bockwinkle beat Rick Martel. February the 7th, 1983, we got some going to go over to Japan for a show. This is the New Japan Pro Wrestling in Tokyo, Japan at Sumo Hall. Don't have the attendance for this, but it would have been over 5,000, but it's a fairly historically significant card here. It was shown on TV on February 11th over there, so they actually broadcast this show. Yoshiaki Fujiwara beat Yoke Paulson. I don't know who Yoke Paulson was. Sounds like a sumo name, but I'm not sure who that actually was. Kuniaki Kobayashi and Gran Hamada beat Kentaro Hoshino and Masanobu Kurishi. Osamu Kido beat Carlos Jose Estrada. Yes, Jose Estrada, working under the name Carlos Jose Estrada over in Japan for New Japan. Mike George beat Ruma Go. Masa Saito beat Kingo Kimura. Hulk Hogan's over there. Of course, he's working for New Japan Pro Wrestling and AWA at this point. He beats Blackjack Mulligan. The WWF Junior Heavyweight Champion, who is Tiger Mask, the original Satoru Sayama, beat Black Tiger. Seiji Sakaguchi and Tatsumi Fujinami battled Riki Choshu and Killer Khan to a double countout. And finally, in a handicap match, Antonio Inoki loses a rare match, although it took three people to beat him, and I don't have the exact details of this, although I'm sure it wasn't a clean pinfall or anything like that, probably a count out or something. Rusher Kimura and Animal Hamaguchi and Osamu Teranishi beat Antonio Inoki. We just talked about the Southern Tag Team titles. Well, they're going to change hands again. This time in Louisville, Kentucky, the Sheep Herders, Jonathan Boyd and Luke Williams, regained the Southern Tag Team titles from the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane. And on this date, sadly, February 7th, 1983, pro wrestling announcer Marty O'Neill dies at the age of 75. And here we have an obituary for him from, this looks like it came from a newspaper of some sort. Wrestling loses a great man. Professional wrestling lost a great man Monday when Marty O'Neill, the longtime voice of All-Star Wrestling, passed away at the age of 75. In the latter years of his life, retired from announcing, Marty tried his hand at promoting in his home city of St. Paul, Minnesota. He and Wally Carbo put together several cards that drew record audiences at the St. Paul Civic Center. "You would never want to meet a nicer guy," said, "nicer guy than Marty O'Neill," Carbo said. He really helped us in the early years of television, and he continued to do his part through the years to make our show successful. O'Neill announced his first pro wrestling match on television in 1955. In those days, there was a television show weekday afternoons and another live from the Minneapolis Auditorium. Marty interviewed all the great ones, Vern Gagne, Gorgeous George, Dick the Bruiser, the Lasowski brothers, Mitsu Arakawa, Gene Kaniski. "So wrestling is the greatest sport in the world," O'Neill said in an interview last year. "I've always been very proud of my association with it." What was the key to Marty's success as an announcer? "Sincerity," he said on camera. "I never tried to be anything or anyone but myself, and I think the audience appreciated that. Sure, I got excited sometimes. Why not? Wrestling is an exciting sport." Marty's favorite men to interview were the Crusher and Vern Gagne. "You never knew what that doggone Crusher would come up with," Marty said. "He would always have a prop or a gimmick for his TV interviews. Vern Gagne was probably one of the easiest guys to interview because he always had something important to say. People respected Vern, not just because he was the champion, but because of the way he conducted himself in the interview area. He was always a gentleman." Marty O'Neill himself was a true gentleman. "Never in all my years as a promoter did I hear anyone say an unkind word about Marty," Carbo commented. "He had friends, so many friends. Even those who never met him were his friends. They felt like they knew him from watching the program." Although Neil was famous for his announcing of wrestling, most people don't realize he announced other sports, everything from baseball to curling. In his youth, Marty was one of the most respected sandlot ball players in St. Paul. If there is a ring in the life beyond, please let Marty O'Neill be the announcer. So, a very nice little write-up about Marty O'Neill there. February the 8th, 1983. I'm going to go to Buffalo, New York, WWF. Attendance, 9,200 people. Let's see if we can stay awake through this undercard. Salvatore Bellomo defeated Charlie Fulton. Swede Hansen defeated Kurt Hennig. Yes, Kurt Hennig working as an enhancement talent during this era. Mr. Fuji fought Chief J Strongbow to a draw. While Samoans Ivan Sika defeated Tony Garea and Eddie Gilbert. Yep, Eddie Gilbert, an undercard wrestler here as well. Big John Studd defeated Jules Strongbow. Rocky Johnson defeated Buddy Rose. Pedro Morales defeated superstar Billy Graham by countout. Jimmy Snuka defeated Ray Stevens, and the WWF champion Bob Backlund fought WWF Intercontinental champion Don Morocco to a no contest. Yep, that show definitely rested on the main event. On the same day, February 8th, 1983, we go down into the Caribbean. Otto Boldon, Trinidad. We have Ric Flair taking on Victor Jovica for the NWA World Title. And this is another one of those shows, like we've talked very recently about several times. When Ric Flair goes to the Caribbean, there's oftentimes trouble. And here again, 24,000 fans, again, at a near riot. Flair again appears to put a wrestler over for the NWA title in order to escape a Caribbean nation alive. And so, you know, we've seen him do this before. This one's, I don't think, as well publicized as the, who was the other guy? Gosh, I'm having trouble concentrating here. But it's not, it's talked about more than Victor Jovica, who is like, he sort of is one of those, dark world heavyweight champions in a way. He's the guy that, you know, here we had, and I don't know why for the life of me, I've completely drawn a blank on the dude that Ric Flair lost the title to a couple times down in the Caribbean. I guess I'm going to have to go to my own Ultimate History of Wrestling website and see if I can find. I know everybody is screaming it in unison at the microphone. I don't know why I can't remember Jack Veneno. Of course, Jack Veneno. But yeah, basically the same thing happens with Victor Jovica. February the 9th, 1983 in Miami, Florida, in front of a crowd of 6,196 people, the Midnight Rider, Dusty Rhodes under a mask, defeated Ric Flair for the NWA World Heavyweight title, but not so fast. This is the one where you got the famous picture of the NWA president, Bob Goggle, taking the belt away from Dusty Rhodes because he won't take the mask off. So, yep, he refused to unmask. Thus, he had to give the title back up to Ric Flair. The results of the rest of that show were Andre the Giant and Barry Windham defeated Kevin Sullivan and Jake Roberts. Mike Graham defeated Don Kent. Roddy Piper defeated Mr. New York. And who is Mr. New York? Well, none other than, well, definitely not from New York, from Georgia, Chick Donovan. Yeah, I'd forgotten about the Chick Donovan as Mr. New York gimmick. Rufus R. Jones and Ron Bass defeated Angelo Mosca and Leroy Brown by DQ. Charlie Cook beat Ciclone Negro. Scott McGee and Terry Allen, the future Magnum TA, defeated the Kangaroos and the Fabulous Kangaroos down here in Florida during this time period were Don Kent and Johnny Heffernan. They win by DQ. February the 11th, 1983. A huge card is held in St. Louis, Missouri at the Checker Dome in front of 16,695 fans. It's shown on Japanese television and featured a PWF, Pacific Wrestling Federation, title change and a famous Ric Flair versus Bruiser Brody match. So your results of this show, Roger Kirby defeated Manny Fernandez, Bill Cody and Buzz Tyler and Rick Martel defeated Crusher Ayala, probably better remembered as Hercules Ayala, another foe of Carlos Colon. His partners were Dewey Robertson, the future missing link, and Kim Duck, Tiger Chung Lee, yes. Ken Patera defeated Ox Baker. Butch Reed defeated Bobby Duncan. Bob Orton Jr. and Dick Murdoch defeated Bob Brown and Dick the Bruiser. Kerry Von Erich defeated Greg Valentine to retain the Missouri title. And the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair went to a time limit draw with Bruiser Brody in a best 2 out of 3 falls match. And Giant Baba defeated Harley Race to win the PWF title. So that's a big, big show. Well, WWF was also holding a show that night in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the Civic Center. 10,000 people in attendance there. Pete Sanchez beat Charlie Fulton. SD Jones pinned Johnny Roz. Salvatore Bellomo pinned Baron Mikel Cicluna. The Wild Samoans defeated Eddie Gilbert and Curt Hennig. So there's Eddie Gilbert and Curt Hennig as a tag team. Big John Studd defeated Jules Strongbow. As we've seen all this month so far, WWF champion Bob Backlund beat the Intercontinental champion Don Morocco, this time in a Texas death match. Ray Stevens defeated Pedro Morales by countout. Rocky Johnson defeated superstar Billy Graham by DQ. Jimmy Snuka pinned Buddy Rose. Chief J Strongbow fought Mr. Fuji to a DQ. And Tony Garea pinned Swede Hansen. February the 12th, 1983, in Sarasota, Florida, Midnight Rider Dusty Rhodes again beat NWA World Champion Ric Flair, but did not win the title. This is probably a repeat of the won't unmask angle. The same night in Chicago, Illinois, for the AWA, Steve-O battled Tom Lentz to a draw. Tom Lentz got a push at least one area. Weirdly enough, it was the southeastern and later continental area two different times. He got a push as Boomer H. Lynch, the South African. Yeah, that's really the only place he ever got a push of any sort in. Bobby Heenan beat Buck Zumhoff. Rick Martel beat Sergeant Rene Goulet by DQ. Wahoo McDaniel beat Bobby Duncan. Jerry Lawler's in Chicago for the AWA. He beats Ken Patera. That's a little bit of an upset, really. Hulk Hogan's back from Japan. He beats Jesse Ventura by DQ. And Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzel battled Rene Goulet and Sheik Jerry Blackwell to a no contest. February the 13th, 1983, going back down to Florida, the NWA World Champion Ric Flair fought Andre the Giant to a double countout in Orlando. And for the AWA, St. Paul, Minnesota, we don't have the complete results, but we know it drew 16,000 fans. Hulk Hogan defeated Jesse Ventura, and the team of high flyers Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzel beat Ken Patera and Bobby Duncan. February the 14th, 1983, Valentine's Day 1983, what were you doing? Well, if you were in Memphis, Tennessee, you might have been one of 6,437 people at the Mid-South Coliseum to see. So it's about half full, a little over half full at this point. Kenya Kondori pinned Bobby Fulton. Sweet Brown Sugar, and remember in Memphis that it's Coco Ware, pinned Sabu. No, not that Sabu. This is Coco Samoa. Jesse Barr went to a draw with Dutch Mantel. Bobby Eaton pinned King Cobra. Bill Dundee beat Apocalypse Mike Boyer by forfeit. I hated that Apocalypse gimmick. That was such a dumb gimmick. Mike Boyer was just a weird wrestler anyway. Whether he's doing that hippie gimmick or Apocalypse or whatever, he was just, I don't know, just a weird dude. I never got into Mike Boyer. The Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, beat the U.S. Tag Team Champions, the Executioners by DQ. I don't know who the Executioners were here. There were quite a few of them running around at this point. Bobby Eaton beat Bill Dundee by DQ. Sweet Brown Sugar pinned Jesse Barr. Terry Taylor beat Jerry Roberts, who is Jacques Rougeau, actually, in a no-DQ match to win the Southern Heavyweight title. Yes, Terry Taylor becomes Southern Champion here. And I guess this has been a tournament going on. That's why we got so many people wrestling twice. So we had Bobby Eaton beat Sweet Brown Sugar to win the vacant Mid-America title. So I guess that was a ongoing title tournament there. And finally, the AWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Botwinkle pinned Jerry Lawler. Also on February 14, 1983, in West Palm Beach, Florida, Ric Flair's set up shop down in Florida. I guess he's on vacation down there in the wintertime. He's defends the World Heavyweight title successfully against Barry Windham in a steel cage match. All right, we'll wrap up the first half of the month, February the 15th, 1983, in Tampa, Florida. Future Magnum TA Terry Allen and the Midnight Rider Dusty Rhodes. So we get the Magnum TA and Dusty Rhodes a few years before they reprise this up in Crockett Promotions. They defeated the Kangaroos, who we've already established were Don Kent and Johnny Heffernan, to win the global tag team titles. But Midnight Rider, he's having problems holding on to a belt. He seems to, Dusty's winning lots of belts down there that he can't keep. And he gives his half of the championship to Scott McGee. So Scott McGee and Terry Allen are going to be your tag champions. And also on the same show, NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair defeated Scott McGee to retain the title. All right, when we come back after a mid-show break here, we'll talk about the second half of February 1983 right here on the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, brought to you by WhenItWasCool.com.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. whenitwascool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
All right, let's see what the second half of February 1983 holds for us. February the 16th, 1983, it appears that Rocky Johnson wins the WWF Intercontinental title from Don Morocco in Hamburg, PA. But it was later changed to a DQ due to the interference by Captain Lou Albano. The TV commentary left viewers in doubt as to whether or not they'd seen a title change. And I don't really know for sure what they were doing here, whether they were planning on changing the belt over to Rocky Johnson. It kind of looked like, yes, they were, but they end up going back with Don Morocco anyway. So it's one of those weird kind of, for lack of a better term, dusty finishes, even though Dusty Rhodes had nothing to do with this one. February the 17th, 1983, in Ocala, Florida, NWA World Champion Ric Flair beat Barry Windham. February the 18th, 1983, we get our monthly Madison Square Garden show. And I don't have the attendance for this, although one's got to assume it's in the 18,000 to 21,000 range. That's usually about what it's running here. So, but anyway, Madison Square Garden, that's the big show of the month in the era before pay-per-views. This was your big show. Jose Estrada defeated Kurt Hennig. Johnny Roz beat Baron Mikel Cicluna. Mr. Fuji defeated Tony Garea. Big John Studd defeated Jules Strongbow. Ray Stevens defeated Chief J Strongbow. Boy, you wouldn't know this was a big show of the month, would you, by hearing this undercard. WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco defeated WWF Champion Bob Backlund by DQ. So Morocco actually gets to beat Backlund this time. He just doesn't get the belt. Rocky Johnson beat superstar Billy Graham, who is managed by the Grand Wizard, by countout. The tag team, a very popular tag team, Andre the Giant and Jimmy Snuka defeated the Wild Samoans, Afonseca, managed by Captain Lou Albano. Eddie Gilbert gets a win at Madison Square Garden, beating Charlie Fulton. Salvatore Bellomo defeated Swede Hansen. Pedro Morales defeated Buddy Rose. February the 19th, 1983, they're going to go down the road to Philadelphia to the Spectrum. 18,246 fans. And, you know, just essentially, I mean, this is just switch around the names, right? I mean, it's basically the same stuff, just different order. Jose Estrada beat Kurt Hennig. Johnny Roz beat Mac Rivera. Tony Garea beat Charlie Fulton. Swede Hansen beat S.D. Jones. Eddie Gilbert beat Baron Mikel Cicluna. Big John Studd defeated WWF Champion Bob Backlund by countout. Afonseca beat Chief J and Jules Strongbow. Then we get a big multi-man tag team match, a best three out of five falls match. Andre and Rocky Johnson and Salvatore Bellomo and Jimmy Snuka and Pedro Morales defeated Mr. Fuji, Ray Stevens, Don Morocco, Buddy Rose, and superstar Billy Graham. AWA's in Rockford, Illinois, and Nick Bockwinkel retains the AWA World Heavyweight title over Hulk Hogan by DQ. February the 20th, 1983 is going to be a Monday night. We've got a couple big shows for you. So Mid-South Coliseum has fallen back under half attendance and fallen under our criteria again. There are only 4,965 fans at this show, but there is a, I don't know, I guess some historical significance here. Jerry Lawler defeated AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkle by forfeit. Bockwinkle arrived late to the arena. As a substitute match, Austin Idol defeated Jerry Lawler in a no DQ match. Also, Sweet Brown Sugar, Coco Ware defeated Bobby Eaton for the Mid-America title. Adrian Street and Jesse Barr beat the Fabulous One, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, to win the Southern Tag Team titles. Actually, Kern pinned Adrian Street, but the dazed referee declared the wrong winners. Well, we've seen those titles switch like three or four times already this month. In Toronto, Canada, a little more substantial card there, Maple Leaf Gardens. 13,798 people are there to see Rudy Kay and Nick DiCarlo battle Private Jim Nelson and Tim Gerard to a draw. Johnny Weaver defeated Bobby Bass. The Destroyer, Dick Byer, defeated Terry Kay. Leo Burke battled Tony Parisi to a double countout. Salvatore Bellomo, yes, he's getting pushed up in Toronto as well, defeated Ray Stevens by DQ. And Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood defeated Sergeant Slaughter and Don Kernodle. And the NWA World Champion Ric Flair beat Terry Funk. Now, 4 days later, Flair is going to be on the other side of the world. He's going on a tour of New Zealand. So February 24th, 1983, Ric Flair defends the NWA World Heavyweight title in Auckland, New Zealand, defeating Mark Lewin. In fact, he's going to wrestle Mark Lewin multiple times down in New Zealand. February 25th, 1983, Flair beats Mark Lewin in New Plymouth, New Zealand. Now, also on February 25th, 1983, the AWA is in St. Paul, Minnesota, where we have Brad Reagans battled AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkle to a draw. Oh, my gosh. Could you believe that? Brad Reagans battling Nick Bockwinkle to a draw. What a ridiculous booking that is. We got a handicap match. Hulk Hogan beat Mr. Saito and David Schultz. Greg Gagnon, Jim Brunzel, and Rick Martel beat Ken Patera, Crusher Blackwell, and Sheikh Adnan LKC. Blackjack Lanza beat Bobby Heenan by countout. Buck Zumhoff beat Steve Regal. And Steve-O battled Bill White to a draw. That's poor card there in St. Louis or St. Paul as well. February 26, 1983, Ric Flair, NWA World title, beats Mark Lewin in Christchurch, New Zealand. And then the next day, he continues his tour, beating Mark Lewin again, this time in Dunedin, New Zealand. Also on February 27, 1983, we got a few notes actually. The Gillette Cup is held by the World Wrestling Council promotion in Puerto Rico, with Carlos Colon winning at the San Juan Puerto Rico Stadium. 12,000 fans there. I don't have complete results for that. Also, the Omni in Atlanta. Ole Anderson and Buzz Sawyer battled Stan Hansen and Masked Superstar Bill Eadie to a draw. In a no DQ match, Butch Reed defeated Ivan Koloff. Bruiser Brody battled Abdullah the Butcher to a draw. It's the first time we've seen Abdullah in a while. Paul Orndorff defeated the Assassin, Jody Hamilton. Dick Murdoch defeated the Iron Sheik. Brian Blair and Tito Santana and Ray Candy defeated the Moondogs, Rex and Spot, and their partner, the Super Destroyer, Scott Irwin. Paul Orndorff wrestles another match, beating Joe Lightfoot, and Bob Roop defeated Tom Pritchard. The AWA is in Denver, Colorado, also on February 27th. Jerry Lawler beats Sergeant Rene Goulet. Rick Martel beat Bobby Heenan. Mad Dog Vachon and Bern Gagne beat Sheikh Adnan LKC and Jerry Blackwell. Wahoo McDaniel battled Ken Patera to a no contest. And Hulk Hogan beat Jesse Ventura by DQ in an arm wrestling match. And so we'll wrap the month up with February 28th, 1983. Of course, February is a short month anyway. But we get Ric Flair again beating Mark Lewin, this time in Invercargill, New Zealand. And we go down to our first note I remember seeing in a while for Southwest Championship Wrestling down in San Antonio, Texas. Bob Sweet Tan defeats Tully Blanchard for the Southwest Heavyweight title. And so a fairly uneventful February of 1983. For the most part, it's just Ric Flair camped out down in Florida for a while. Flair's going to, looks like he's camped out in New Zealand for a while here. In fact, going on over into March, he's there. He doesn't come back until March 5th. And this is crazy. We'll talk about this next month. Ric Flair wrestled, defended the world title in New Zealand on March 4th. And on March 5th, he was back in Atlanta, Georgia, wrestling Denny Brown on TV. I mean, from one side of the world to the other. That's definitely crazy. And next month, we'll have some notes from Southeastern Championship Wrestling again. They'll be back in here. Plus, Jim Crockett Promotions, who we didn't hear much about this go around, but they've got a big show the next month as well. Lots of stuff. February just wasn't really a big time month for wrestling in '83. But going forward, we're definitely going to have a bunch of pretty intense stuff. Definitely things will be ramping up, especially as we head later into the year. The AWA is going to be revolving around Hulk Hogan and Nick Bockwinkle and battling for that AWA world title. And is Hulk Hogan the AWA champion or isn't he? And we're going to get into that whole deal. Andy Kaufman's going to return down in Memphis and hopefully shake that scene up that's been really dragging for a few months down there as well. Plus, of course, like I said, we got all kinds of Jimmy Snuka craziness and much more coming up. So that's going to be it. We will wrap up the show there. Hope you enjoyed it. In the meantime, hope you'll go over to my website, whenitwascool.com. We got lots of other stuff going on over there. Like I said, if you're a comic book fan, we just did a show on Darkseid yesterday. Plus, we've got shows coming up reviewing the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, the Heel Mustache Podcast, Uphill Both Ways, a retro pop culture show returns this week. The boys are back in town. Eric Darcy will be back as he is every Friday with a new Wrestling with the Dog. Plus, all kinds of other stuff. Power Rangers, Fireside Chat, much, much more coming up this week at whenitwascool.com. Hope to see you there. Thank you very much for listening.
When It Was Cool is your home for retro pop culture fun. We feature hundreds of podcasts on classic TV shows, movies, retro sports, toys, history, music, wrestling, and more. Tons of free podcasts. And hit any Patreon button for a deeper dive into our premium shows. WhenItWasCool.com. Fun and friendly.